All right, boys.
How are we?
I'm all right. What's up? What's happened to you? You had a beautiful view about 2 minutes ago, Nicky.
Is that right? Is that all right?
There you go. Yeah. There you go. You're looking good. Sounds. Curtis,
how's it been?
How's it been with the homeless this week? Look at what are you dressed as?
I'm unemployed now, though, aren't I? You know, I ain't got a job anymore, so this is what happens.
Is this the look?
This is the look. This is the feel sorry for me and give me a job look.
Is it? You haven't been playing a guitar with a cap on the floor, have you, outside Asda?
He's lying. He's in training camp. That's training camp.
That's what it is. There it is.
Listen, hey, if I don't get back into football management soon, got to pay the bills, aren't you?
That's a Rocky Four in Russia look.
Curtis, just offer one of them idiot YouTubers out. I cannot believe what I'm seeing with these fellas. What is going on?
Do you know what? Yeah. Like, you know, when I was, before I boxed, the reason why when I retired from football, I always looked at boxing and looked at them as like kings. You know, like my era was Frank Bruno, Nigel Benn, Chris Eubank. Yeah. That was my era coming through. And I understand all the fighters want to make money, and there's easy money out there. And, you know, never knock anyone who fights and makes a few quid. Good luck to them. But you have to make sure they're not diluting the sport as well and turning it
definitely
into
not, yeah.
Because the reason why boxers are so adhered and looked up to is because of how tough and how brutal and how serious the game is. And that's why people get lauded upon. You know, we need to be careful going down the boxing route. It don't become a bit of a farce and it becomes like wrestling.
Yeah.
People look at boxers and they think, oh, wow, I could not do what they're doing. But then when you're seeing all the YouTubers go on and other people like Love Island guys getting in the ring, it, like you said, it kind of dilutes it and makes you think, oh, actually, I could do that, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, to a professional boxing level, You can't get anywhere near them guys, and you can't because it's too dangerous as well.
Exactly, Ted, and you know because you box, so you know what it's all about, and you know how tough it is. You know, just like people, it annoys me when I hear people talking down about journeymen and people like that. If you get in the ring with an established journeyman who knows the way around the ring, they can tie you in knots, and if they want to, they can beat you up with not a problem.
They box your head off.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about you two. I didn't find it that tough, to be honest. I thought it was quite easy. No, lads, you're right, though. But like, I think it's disrespectful to lads who they've boxed all their life, they've worked hard, and it's like you said, Curtis, it's an hard game to come up through. There's lads there that are training day in, day out. They're not earning loads of money at the start. They're trying to get to that level, and then you've got these blokes doing videos just because they've got loads of YouTube followers and they're getting loads for fighting, and it's like, hold on, these lads have worked hard at craft all their life. Yeah. It's not fair on them.
There's a real small percentage of fighters that ever get to box on television. Mm. You know, real small percentage, probably 5%. The rest of them are on small all shows, like you said, earning peanuts. For the majority of my career, I get $2,500 a fight for a 10-week training camp. You know, it works out at less than minimum wage. When I boxed for the British title against Darren Hamilton, so you're on about the biggest fight of my life up to date, I got paid $9,000, and I trained 12 weeks for that.
Wow.
So out of that $9,000, I had to pay my trainer 10%, my manager 15%. I trained away in London, so I had all my expenses. I made a loss. The biggest night of my life, I made a loss. God. You know,
the thing is, though, mate, I know obviously the money side, but no one can ever take that feeling away. That's the
exactly
main.
The memories.
I think that in any sport, obviously the money's important, etc. But it's just
and you never remember the money, do you? You never remember the money. It is about the achievements, but still, like I said, there's so many fighters toiling away for absolute peanuts. It must be a real kick in the teeth to see a YouTuber come in and top the bill. Pay-per-view and earn thousands of millions, it'd sting a little bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Curtis, have you any advice for Nicky, who's only ever had one fight, but he's got the face of a journeyman?
Well, I would say stick to football, but I've been looking at the results. Maybe that's not the best.
Don't be like that.
That's why he weren't allowed on last week, because he was that poor. He got banned from social media.
Unbelievable.
No, don't be telling tales, you, Gareth.
I won't. Talking
you couldn't
of,
be a boxer with them teeth. There'd be no gum shield that fit in your mouth.
Hey, Nicky,
I had to go to vets to get a gum shield done.
When I played football, there was no social media or anything like that. What are the gaffers like now regarding social media? Is it just a, listen, don't go on it, lads? Or
I think, do you know what? I think majority are all right in terms of, like, look, obviously, they tell you to be careful. You know what it's like, yeah. Especially, like, you, this day and age, you know, with all that's going on, people, some of the things you see and you're like, how has this not been stopped? Do you know, they just tell us be careful with even replying back to certain people. You know what it's like? Someone will message you and they've not even got a picture up or whatever, and you're like, they'll message you about a game and they've probably not even watched it.
Yeah.
Like obviously we played Bolton overnight and all my mates are Bolton fans, massive Bolton fans. Mm-hmm. So obviously we got beat, they're giving me stick. I get messages off lads, mate, I'm thinking, you ain't even got Sky, you ain't got Sky or iFollow, you ain't even watched the game. So No, you're just lying, mate, jumping on a bandwagon.
Why, what did they say? Did they say that you played well?
To be fair,
knew that they hadn't watched it?
Well, yeah, they said, oh, you were brilliant tonight, yeah. You all looked all right. They must have watched it.
It's hard to nibble sometimes, isn't it? I find myself sometimes arguing with an hour with idiots, and then you have to stop yourself and think, what am I doing here? You know, as a manager, you get home, you've been big.
Curtis, you had the biggest nibble. That's how you had the biggest nibble. You tracked somebody down and went and knocked on his door. I'm not being funny. How much would you pat yourself if you've been giving a boxer some abuse?
Yeah,
just obviously. And he turns up at your door.
Yeah, and you're like,
fucking hell.
My mate had my phone.
Yeah.
You know what, though?
I finished my missus because of it.
Well, I fight at 10 stone and I'm only 5'6". So what if I knocked on his door and this big unit answered the door?
Did you honestly think about that, though? Did you think, oh my God, what if I answered it like he answers the door and he's like a skinheaded, tattooed nutter?
Well, one thing that boxing taught me very early is
to run quick.
Most people can't fight. You know, a lot of them just look like they can, but they can't. But I was confident. I was in good shape. I was good to go.
Oh, honestly, tell me what his reaction were when you knocked on the door? Because obviously, I've seen the video, but like, what did he actually say?
Well, I never got to knock on his door because the person that gave me basically the deeds to his house wouldn't tell me what number he lived at, because he rang me panicking, saying, what are you going to do? And at this point, I was fuming. So I said, I'm going to kill him. And he says, well, if you kill him, I'm going to be an accessory to murder. So I'm not going to tell you where he lived. But when I traveled up there, he lived like 47 miles away. That's what it said in my sat nav. So by the time I'd got 10 minutes up the road, I'd calmed down. And I kind of thought, well, I'm just going to have this as a bit of a laugh and a joke. And Twitter was going crazy. So I just played along to it. I never had any intentions of doing anything. I just wanted to let him know that.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You can be touched. And I found out within 10 minutes where he lived, what football team he played for. I just brought a little reality to his doorstep. He didn't like it.
Right. Talking of feuds, that kind of leads us on perfect to our first little topic. So we've all seen it in the news. Matt Ritchie, Steve Bruce had a bit of a they've had a bit of a training ground spat because supposedly Steve Bruce gave Matt Ritchie instructions for when he came on. Them instructions weren't passed on quick enough, and ultimately resulted in a goal. Right or wrong? What are you thinking? Nicky, go on, you can go, because is there ever a time when you're coming on the pitch, because I know you sub quite often now, that
what's that? I've never played that position before. What is it?
That you've played sub, not used the interview. But have you been given instructions? If like usually it's like who you're picking up at corners, in it, or who you're picking up at free kicks. Like say you're taking the replace of, you know, a midfielder or a striker, right? Who is he marking on a set piece, and you know, you're passing them players on. So you know, has there ever been a time where, like, you've kind of been in that same situation where you've got to rush on as a free kick's being done or a corner?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, you know, you've all been in that situation. I think when you're young, like when I was younger, I remember like when they used to shove me up, put me on, they used to just leave me up for on the break because they thought he ain't gonna mark someone, or he's gonna be at wrong position. He'll get done and he'll cost us a goal. But I think as you get older, like now I'm picking up from corners and I'm still 5 foot five. But because like you get that trust, don't you? The more games you play,
yeah.
Like the lads, yeah. You know what you're doing. As a younger lad, you just think you're a rabbit in the headlights. You just really, you want to get the ball, just go and take loads of players on and be, do what you want, really. But as you get older, you know you've got a job. Yeah. So, but it's happened to me a few times when I've, like say, younger, come on, and you've been like, pick him up, or you're here, or I've been on the post and I've been ball watching and I think, you know, keeper's got this here. And I've ran off, next thing you know, balls, they've tapped ball in where I'm supposed to be, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
And I think when that happens, listen, you've just got to take it on the chin, haven't you? You know?
Yeah. In that circumstance, though, like the free kick was just about to be took. So like I've not looked into it too much. So it's a difficult one to like to get on quickly, pass the message across, and then, but obviously, you know, he has been told what to do, and they've, you know, they've had a bit of a spat afterwards in a training ground, but that happens all the time, you know, like players argue with managers, like it happens all the time. Like I don't see a massive thing in it. Like Matt Ritchie's come out and apologized, you know, which, you know, you should always do as a player, like to the manager. But like, how many times have you seen like arguments in the dressing room, on the training pitch, between players and managers? And
yeah,
you know, I think it's just the emotion, isn't it, Curtis?
It's once a week, isn't it? You know, it happens once a week. Like I said, it's nothing major. You know, very rarely do you see things really spill over and actually see people come to blows or anything like that. That is rare. But, you know, when you're training at high intensity, a tackle might go in, someone gets up, shoves someone. You know, that happens all the time. But I think the most damning thing from that whole thing was the reaction of the rest of the team. Where you see them all looking over at Steve Bruce with their arms wide open, like, what the hell is going on? And yeah. I think that reaction looked really, really bad. And just from a manager's point of view, I've done this before where I've because you're in the emotion of the game, you know, you normally make substitutions to either get a goal back, to change the rhythm of a game or whatever it is. So your emotions are high. And I've done it before as a manager where I've sent a player on and forgot myself to give them the right instructions or who they're picking up or what they're doing. So people are quick to point at the player, but who knows what information he was given? You know, no one actually knows, do they? And I've definitely done it myself where, you know, I've brought a sub on, 2 minutes later we're defending the corner and my assistant's gone, where's so-and-so for the corner? I've gone, you know what, I've not even told him, I forgot. Just because you've got a million other things going on in your head.
Do you know what, though? I always think, even if you don't know who you're marking, just pick a man. Do you know, everybody goes man for man, whether it's a free kick or a corner. Just pick somebody up, and then once you've cleared it, then you can, you know, then you can say, right, next time, you're on him. Just go man for man. Like, everybody knows how to defend, so.
100%. And you know, if you've got someone in that team, you know, your leader or whatever, or your centre half who normally takes care of the defending the set pieces, you're the first one to grab hold of someone and say, oh, listen, you get in here, you pick him up, you get in the hole, and you sort it out yourselves, don't you, on the pitch?
I
always think part of being a good manager is good recruitment, and you know, you need to recruit that type of player.
Yeah, you need them leaders on the pitch. Like, I remember when I used to get called back, like Nicky was saying, as a youngster, I used to panic.
Yeah.
Like, because for some reason, when the ball's being crossed and I'm attacking it to score a goal, it's so much easier. But when you're defending and you've got a keeper coming in behind you and people are saying, come here, follow him. Honestly, I used to panic like mad. And loads of times the ball would drop and I think, shit, I've not reacted to that. Like, that's my man.
Yeah.
But one you learn, best... don't you? You learn from
your career, one of the best ones. Yeah. One of the best ones I played with, it was very early on in my career. I must have been 18. I've never come up and seen that type of thing before, because we're probably from the same area where it was always man to man. Big man mark a big man.
Yeah.
Fast one stay up top, small one get on the post. That was kind of it. And I remember when Steve Bruce came to Sheffield United, and Steve Bruce was a player manager. And I remember that one of the first games he played, we were going through the set pieces, and he wasn't marking anyone. So I think one of the lads said, "Gaffer, who are you going to pick up?" And he says, "I don't pick up off corners." He said, "I'm staying spare, and I'll just go and head the ball."
Yeah.
And he just used to attack it. And every time he used to head it clear, I was thinking, he's unlucky to be in the right place. But he'd been around for that long. He just knew where the ball was going to go. And that for me, class.
I think that.
Yeah, when Steve Bruce came to Sheffield United, I was, and I shouldn't be, I was shocked at how good he was. You know, because if you think of Steve Bruce at Man United, I thought, head it, kick it, can't really run. Not brilliant. And then when he came to Sheffield United in the five sides, I'm like, wow, he could pass it. He was a proper player.
And, really?
When he came to us, he was like 38 or 40. He was absolutely, you know, he way, way, way past his best. But still had so much quality. You don't realise how good. You know, it's a bit Man United. But like we spoke about Jesse Lingard. You've got to be some player to be there for all them years.
Yeah, 100%.
I played with Paul McGrath as well.
That's class to hear that. That's class.
Yeah, I played with Paul McGrath. He came to Sheffield United. He was about 75 when he came to us.
Someone said to me that he's the best ever defender he's ever played with.
Who said that?
I'm sure it was Higginbottom when he was on. I can't remember. He said he used to see him in training.
Well,
I can't remember.
When he came to us again, he was way, way, way past his best. Never trained. Didn't see him all week.
So I just remembered. I think it's in Roy Keane's book. I think when he joined, he said like he never trained Monday to Friday because he had bad knees. He'd just play on a Saturday and he was unbelievable.
Well, we didn't see him all week. I've got no idea what he was doing. Well, I have got an idea, but he wasn't at the training ground. And then I remember the first game he ever played for us. We come up, he's not doing the warm-up or anything. And I'm a 17-year-old kid, so I'm thinking, what is going on here? I've gone into the home dressing room, and he was in the bath. he just laid it till about 7:03. Warming his knees up, laid in the bath. And he got out of the bath at about 3:07, put his kit on. And I was thinking, this is going to be a disaster. Best player by a mile. And then didn't see him in 7 days. Turned up next Saturday at like 2:30, jumped in bath, got out, best player. I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, you don't realise sometimes how good these players are, mate. Imagine what he was doing at 25.
Well, I was reading something before that during the World Cup final, 66, when England won it.
Yeah.
At half time, like, I don't know whether this is true or not, but like back in the day, they all used to have like a little shot of whiskey at half time to warm themselves up. It's mad, isn't it? Things change.
You got gels now and power drink, energy drinks.
Yeah. Have you two ever seen any like big training ground spats that you can remember? Nicky, was you there at Bury when? I can't remember his name. I'm sure we used to call him Bully or something like that. Did you have, or was it, I think it was Paul O'Shaughnessy and Bully.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Them two went toe-to-toe.
I don't remember that Bully.
Do you not? I think you called Lee Bullock.
Oh, yeah. I know
it is. Do you remember? I was midfielder.
Yeah, I was only like, well, I was youth team then, weren't I? So when I was, I didn't see that. I remember seeing loads of little. Like, I've seen loads of scraps, me, but
yeah.
Just I remember one. I was at Crawley, right, and I was only Northern boy down south, and we had Big Claude Davis and Big John Akinde.
Oh.
You can imagine me sitting between them two, and I'm thinking like honestly, two top guys, right? But like John, I think John had missed the chance or whatever, and Claude's going on at him. And then they come in after, and Claude's going, "John, you should have won the game for us, blah, blah, blah." And they're going, and John's gentle giant, nicest fella ever. And he's going, "Shut up, Claude, blah, blah, blah." Next thing you know, it's erupted. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get snapped in half here. Like, so the lads are like looking at me like, split it up, Nicky. Yeah, good one. I can help here. But to be fair, the lads all saw it. Like, but like, I was thinking, these two, this could be a right fight because they were two big fellas.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're fine though. Yeah. Any spats like that within probably 5 to 10 seconds, it's over, isn't it? It's it's a couple of punches thrown. No, and then but then everyone jumps in between, don't they? And it's over and done with. And usually, like I say, it's a bit of like pent up frustration, over and done with, and then you crack on.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good, isn't it? Like sometimes when that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
If
you're not, I don't know, a bad run or something needs, but that happens, and then you have a reaction at the weekend. I think sometimes it's not a proper fight, but if you have a bit with each other and get it out,
How about this, right? I won't name the manager, but I've had managers pull me to one side and try and instigate that in training.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not having his attitude. Right. Try and fucking lay one on him. Let's get a reaction.
I bet they were well scared of you, Jesus.
That's what I mean. He's even scared of me. It's like Jim Carrey coming at him.
It's a bit naughty, that.
Curtis, when I was coming through, right, you should have seen Gaz. He'd be in gym, right, he'd have his shorts like Lampard, top off, oiled up, doing his pull-ups. And I'm like, what? I'm looking at me thinking, my kit's too baggy
for me. I know what you were thinking. Yeah. You were thinking, he's my hero.
He was like, oh, look at me, I'm a Marine, Nicky, look at this body here, this is what you need to get.
To be fair, he used to do that. That was his best part of the day, before training.
Yeah, the gym.
It was. Hey, Nicky, it served you well, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Serve you well, pal.
I told you about that fight Marcus Bent and Paul Devlin had, didn't I, when they had a fight naked? They had a naked fight. And Neil Warnock was the manager there. The ratchet. And like, lads were trying to join in, and Neil Warnock was like, leave him, let him go at it. And then after, like, he sat down and he was like, good fight, that lads, wasn't it? Good fight. No one kind of got a telling off or anything like that. Neil Warnock was all for it. He was probably licking his lips, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think as a manager, there's a fine line, isn't there? Because you don't want that lads that have got that real vindictive side against each other. But on the flip side of that, you want that mentality where people are desperate to win. And when
winning
happens,
mentality. You want that winning mentality. Up. Yeah.
And I think as well, a part of being a good pro in a good dressing room is being able to take a bollocking as well off your manager and off a fellow player. I think sometimes having that maturity to take it on the chin and say, yeah, you know what, he's right. Or if you disagree, if you're going to have a go back, you do it. You've always got to do it respectfully, I think.
Yeah, constructive.
Manager and player.
Constructive.
I've got no problems when I dish out a bollocking to a player. I've got no problems when they come back at me, as long as they don't overstep the mark. You know, if they disagree and put their opinion to me, then that part of me inside is like, I like that. He's got a bit about him.
Yeah. Some managers won't react like that. Some managers, you will get dropped. As in, like dropped from the team. Like some managers won't like you. Not confronting them, but standing up to them. I've had that a couple of times. I've been dropped from the team because I've probably said too much at the wrong time. But it's only because the heat of the moment, you're passionate, and if you feel like the blame's being put on you or you don't agree, and you're trying to protect your teammates as well, sometimes, you can let the emotions overrun with you, can't you?
But for me, that's weak leadership as a manager. Yeah. Weak leadership. If you can't accept people having an opinion, like I said, a lot of it depends on how you put it over. See, I've had lads that have taken a bollocking off me in the training room and then rang me the next day and said, Gaff, I disagreed with you there, but I didn't want to get into a slagging match with you. But and I like that as well.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
They have that respect for you as manager, and they have the respect for the rest of the teammates where they didn't think it was the right time and the place, but if you want to have a row now, Gaffer, I'm ready. You know that?
I've just, something just come to mind there, right? So obviously towards the end of my career, when I signed for Salford, John Owen Bernard were the managers of Ramsbottom at the time, and we played them in the cup. And I remember I got like we got into like a bit of a like a tussle at the side of the pitch with Jono and Bernard, a couple of our players and myself. I got sent off. Jono got sent off. Obviously, Jono was a manager of the opposite team. And I remember going back to the dressing room, whizzing my boots against a thing, like pissed off, stripped off naked. And then the door flung open and I've turned around and it was Jono. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm stood there naked. I was thinking, right, if he starts throwing punches here, I'm knackered because one, he's bigger than me. And two, I'm stark bollock naked. Like, what am I meant to do? And anyway, he walked up to me. And you know, like, you know, you turn side on, just thinking, oh, right, go on then. And he put his hand out, shook my hand, and he went, sorry about that, pal. And then, you know, like, don't worry, it was nothing to do with you. And I'm stood there naked. I was like, yeah, nice one. Cheers, Jono. And it weren't till the following Saturday, he then became my manager.
Well,
mad, isn't it? Like, yeah, mate, I've like packed my pants at first, and I was like, fair play. Like, he'd obviously follow me into the dressing room. I don't know whether he was going to fill me in, and then he probably saw me todger and felt sorry for me and took me hand. I don't know.
Oh, no, let's leave this fella alone here.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what he thought, but oh, poor lad, I'll leave him alone. But yeah, no, it's like I actually quite respected him for that because he, like I say, he came in, shook me hand, and no, it was good. And I think that's how things should be. Like, if there's ever a training ground tussle, you argue with a manager, I'm always the first one to apologise, like, you know, if I'm out of order or, like you say, ring up the next day. But generally in football, within 30 seconds, it's forgotten about anyway.
Yeah.
All right, one of my pet hates is managers that hold a grudge. I hate that. It drives me mad because it just solves nothing. There's nothing worse than a lingering issue with your manager, is there?
No.
You know, that just goes on for weeks and weeks and all the lads can feel it. It's just not good. You're best off having your ding-dong in his office or wherever it is, out on the training ground, and then everyone can kind of, right, it's done now, we move on. But that horrible lingering feeling, I hate it.
Yeah. Nicky,
yo,
apart from me, obviously, who's the hardest player you've ever played with in football?
What, as in hard fella or just...
Well, yeah, I don't mean he's Willie. Like who's
Oh, I've seen a few of them.
So fella. Listen, this kind of goes on to the question here from Joseph Snelson. Who's the most mental player you have played with and the weirdest thing they have done? I don't think we could probably mention that.
Hard players. Do you know what?
What about mental players? You just
I think, right, I'm going to give you his name here, yeah. And Colin Woodforb. I love Woody. I seen him last year at like a charity game. And I just remember, like, the lads used to wind Woody up because he'd just he'd have some bad gear on or something, and I'd be like, I'd just hammer him, and he'd just lose his head. But then, nicest fella ever. But then when he'd play, I'd think, he's a nutcase, him. He's like, yeah. I think Woody'd be one of them where you'd be
serial
driving.
Killer.
He'd wait for you on your drive and be ready for a fight. Like, he'd head a brick wall, like, no danger.
Yeah.
Do you know Steve Howard, I'd have to say, would be it. He was
really
a lovely fella, but I wouldn't like a tussle with Steve because he was like, he didn't go in gym, but he could probably lift five blokes up. No, well, that would hold you off. But about just a Andy, lovely bloke.
What about one. Andy? What's he called?
Andy Morrison.
Andy Morrison.
Oh, my God. He was when I was younger, and I seen him training with a bin bag on, and I'm like, who's this fella here? And then, like, me old man, I'm saying, that's Andy Morrison, that I played for City and that. And then he'd train, and I'd see him cementing people, and I'd be like, I'm staying out this fella's way. He was nuts.
Mate, he was nuts. He used to bench press literally the youth team on each side of the bar. He was he was just a powerhouse, weren't he?
Do you remember him? Brabin. Forgotten his first name.
Yeah. Is it Gary Brabin?
Gary Brabin.
Yeah.
Gary Brabin.
Yeah. He was an hard case, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. Was he managing him... Morecambe?
I can't remember. I remember
Gary Brabin.
I remember he He elbowed Don Hutchinson one game, knocked him like literally clean out, proper bang. No one said a word to him. It was like, oh, I think that was an accident, that, you know? Everyone was scared of him.
Hey, Curtis, to be fair, like, you've all come across, like, do you remember I tweeted you ages ago saying, could you take, I know you're hard, but can you take Clive Platt? Could you take a punch off? You know Platt, right?
Yeah, Clive.
Yeah, you know Clive, don't you? Yeah.
I know Platt, yeah.
Platt is another one. Big fella, lovely guy, but he's another one that I think if he switched on you, he could hurt you, Platt. Like, but just a top bloke.
You know the Peterborough lads that played with Peterborough? We call Platty Sir Clive.
Yeah, sir. That's what we call him, Sir Clive. Yeah.
The reason we call him Sir Clive, like I said, nicest guy ever. I can't remember who it was he was playing against, but this centre half was giving it Platty all game, head in the back of his head, booting him. And Platty said to him about a couple of minutes ago, at half time, I'm going to do you. And that's like totally not like Platty at all. So hold on a minute. I'm on a Zoom.
Tell you, can you, guy, you can tell who the boss is in your house.
Jesus. Yeah, so Platty's gone down the tunnel, hit this guy, can't remember the lad's name, centre half, knocked six of his teeth out.
Yeah, I remember.
Six of his teeth out, so he was brought off at half time now. So after that day, we called him Sir Clive. What is Platty? 6'6"?
Yeah, big bloke, like. That was the thing, Curtis, right? Obviously, we used to hammer him. We used to batter him. And he'd just laugh it off. And I'm like, lads, one day he's going to flip on us. And he's going to learn a lot of us.
He's a great lad, Platty, isn't it?
Top guy, yeah.
I've not seen Platty in years. He actually came to one of my fights a good few years ago now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like Platty. Great kid. But yeah, hard as nails.
Yeah, hard man.
I don't know if I'd fancy that one, if I'm going to be honest.
No way. Right. Did we see the Morelis, the penalty? What do you think?
Yeah.
I thought the keeper touched him.
That's a pen, not
it? I thought it was a pen. I thought it was a definite pen. Like, I think they asked Gerrard about like how he was feeling, and Gerrard said, well, he's just scored the winner. He's dancing around with no top on to Sweet Caroline in the dressing room.
So yeah, don't
give a shit.
I love him, mate. I think like he's just one of them. He's like old school, isn't he? Of like he's a bit like Suarez. Like
yeah.
Doesn't care. He'll have it with anyone. And yeah. I think players like that you need in your team.
I think the reason he must be good is because he oversteps the mark time and time again.
Yeah.
And for someone like Steven Gerrard to stick with him. I bet he's got a real infectious personality on the training ground. I bet he trains like he plays. I bet he's on it.
Yeah.
You know, he's like I said, Luis Suarez is a great someone to say he's like because he is like, but he don't give you a second rest.
Yeah,
and yeah. For, I mean, how many times have been sent off? So many times. But for Gerrard to never come out and criticize him and always back him, he must be worth his weight in gold. But he must. Test your patience as a manager.
Oh yeah, of course. But I think on the field, like if you've got someone like that in your team, it helps as a midfielder or a defender. You're like, well, we know today he's going to cause them a problem, and you're like,
some of the best players always like live on the edge.
They got to be nasty, aren't they?
You've got to be.
Well, you know, have you boys heard of Greg Smith? Says you might as well.
Smudger.
I sent a forward at Gainsborough called Greg Smith. Looks like a local doorman. Big, hard, horrible.
I think I've seen you tweet a picture of him. Big fella, innit?
Yeah, big lad. Yeah. And I always used to say to him, because he's always, always 1 second away from getting sent off. Always. Whether it be Gobbin. You know, his favourite one is, carry on, I'm going to bite your nose off. That's what he says all the time. I've heard him say it a million times. And I always say to the centre half, listen, mate, I've had him 18 months now. He's not bitten his nose off yet. So just ignore him. But I always say to Greg, play on the edge, don't fall off. You know, they've got to tread that really fine line because if you take that away from Greg Smith or Morales or Suarez, you're losing that big, it's not even 5%, it's 33% of their game.
Yeah.
So I think as manager, you've either got to say, you know what, I've got to let them be them.
Yeah.
Or don't play them, don't pick them, and don't sign them.
Yeah, you know? Agree.
Because I think in the dressing room, like you said, they're probably a big character that the lads love. So yeah. They can sort of, if they overstep the mark on the pitch, they can sort of like, right, well, he's a big part in that dressing room, which is a big part of it. And on the pitch, 9 times out of 10, you know what, he's scoring goals.
Yeah. But it must be a top lad as well in the dressing room.
Yeah, that's what
like
I mean.
Gerard just said, look, he's celebrating by taking his top off and singing Sweet Caroline. So the lads will be buzzing off that, loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what, as well as for a manager, I'm just going back to Greg Smith again. He was always one that I could hammer in the dressing room and have a proper, proper ding-dong with him. And there'd never be any issues. He'd never be disrespectful. He'd always, you know, say, yeah, you're right, miles off it or whatever. If he said something back, you know, I'm one of them as manager. You can say anything in the dressing room.
Curtis, is that your missus rustling that tinfoil?
Well, I hope she is cooking a bit first.
I think it might have been my dog walking past. Sorry.
What is it? Give the dog a kick, Nicky. It's disturbing.
She's gone out now. She's gone outside.
Right. Okay. Good. Sorry, Curtis. Go on.
I forgot what I was saying. Yeah. So just about, you know, as a manager,
you can hammer him in the dressing room.
Yeah. And he could take it. He's a proper, people like that are proper players. And I think if you get in the confrontation as a manager with players like that, that have massive personalities in the dressing room, and they come flying back at you and undermine you, you've got an issue then.
Yeah.
Because the players then look at you as manager and be like, oh my God, well, you know, what's going on here? Or dirty shout at him or whatever it is. So
yeah,
I think as a manager, people like that are invaluable because they're man enough to take it and professional enough to take it. And I can see Morales like that. They must respect Gerard. I mean, what a job he's done down there by it.
Oh,
there,
my God.
Oh, unbelievable. There, so, yeah.
Been brilliant. But what a player he's been, though. What a player. Like, someone just said they only need 4 more points for the title. We're only in start of March.
Yeah. So it's ridiculous. They're not lost, are they? In the league.
No. Hey, what about talking of like personalities? What about Jamie Redknapp and Roy Keane? Did you see that?
That was funny. That was funny.
I've never seen Jamie.
Redknapp. Yeah, he was rattled. But do you think Roy's doing it on purpose a bit?
He must do a little bit because he does it all the time.
Yeah,
he does. He will argue in a room on his own, won't he? Sometimes he's just got. Sometimes I think he just thinks, right, I'm going to have an argument here. And he'll say something just to like, you know, just to wind people up.
Yeah.
Fair play
from
to Jamie Redknapp.
From just that little brief clip where them two were going at each other, I got the impression that they don't like each other anyway.
Yeah, I think that.
There was no love there. It seemed like Keane was wanting to have a little dig at Redknapp. I don't think he likes him at all.
Yeah, I think because Keane was having a dig at him, he sort of went off subject to what he's actually talking about. He just wanted to like go against what Redknapp was saying.
Yeah.
Because he was just like, nah, you're doing me head in you. I'm just going to tell you how it is. And he just sort of went off it and just saying anything.
Who do you think was right? Who do you agree with like on the Tottenham situation?
I don't remember what they're arguing about.
Go on, Kaz.
Yeah, I want to say they're on about the strength of the Spurs squad, weren't they?
Yeah, they were saying that Redknapp was saying that, oh, defensively, like they've got good players like Alderweireld, Dier, or is it Sanchez, the other one?
Yeah.
And Keane Sancho was just like, no chance. They don't get in. He said like Mourinho like doesn't trust them. Yeah, that's why they don't get in any of the top. He said they don't play for Liverpool, City, all the top teams. He said United, and then
he said Man United.
He said he was trying to say, oh, they're getting United team, and Keane was like, nah, no chance. He said Dier, he was just hammering Dier, and then he said he's an international footballer, and he was like, if you control it, you can play it. That's when he went off it a little bit.
He was kind of said, like Redknapp said, the Spurs team is full of internationals, and Roy Keane said that means nothing. Like You can be an international if you can control a ball these days. Do you know what I mean? And he went off on one.
I think he's right in terms of, if you do look at Spurs, going forward, the front players are unreal, aren't they? But defensively, and the goalkeeper, listen, I don't have the top players that are there for a reason, but I can compare them to the other top teams. They're nowhere near it, are they? I think what Keane was saying is, like, look, Lloris has won the World Cup. It don't mean that he's better than what Liverpool or City have got. He's not better than Alisson or Edison, is he? No. So that's the issue that they've got. And then obviously Redknapp was just going back at him, and then it just started a little bit between them.
Like you said, it went off subject, didn't it? And it was basically...
It's funny, though.
I felt it was a little bit of a dig at each other.
I think Roy Keane probably looked at Jamie Redknapp and hates everything about him, what he stands for, and the way he played football. Keane's the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, he'll look at that, you know, the
spice. That's why I was hated so much in football, Curtis.
Say that again.
I'm a bit like Jamie Redknapp. That's why I was hated like football.
I just felt that there was real friction between them two before they even started talking.
Yeah.
I think they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it's that United Liverpool thing. There's always going to be something there, ain't there? Like,
yeah. Right. I think we touched on it a bit before. Obviously, it's been announced that you've left Gainsborough as a manager. Yeah. So, the question is, what's your next step? What have you got planned? And if you as a manager, Nicky, I'm talking about you, and I'll answer it myself. Would you be a tracksuit manager or a smart jumper, shirt and tie, that kind of? Well, no, I know the answer to you.
I think. Have you seen my gear?
You'd be a prime Arnie manager.
I need a free tracky from the club and a body warmer and an hat, and that'll do me.
And you'd wear it for bed.
You'd never
take it off.
Yeah, I've tried the suited approach. I tried it very, very early on in my career. And after about half an hour, I was sweating so much. Yeah. I was like, just get me a tracksuit on.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. You've got to be comfortable.
Some managers, like, they love it, don't they? They're, like, getting, like,
yeah.
Louis dresses, like, well, he'll get all the gear on, he'll this, that, and the other, and it's...
Look at Nicky. His dog's bit through his Wi-Fi.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Next door, onto me. Next door, they phone me.
Someone's just turned the streetlights off.
Like, but yeah, like Louis used to like get proper. He'd love hot gear. And he'd have his Prada shoes on and all that. And I used to go, oh, that would fit them, Louis. And he'd be like, you want no chance. But he loves it, and he likes. I think if people feel comfortable doing that. I'd be.
I get too involved. I'm too involved in the game to be restricted by a suit. So tracksuit. I just feel like, so you got to feel whatever you feel comfortable in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'd be a tracksuit one.
Like you look at Chris Wilder. He's always been the same. But like when I first had him, he had a suit on. But then from ever since, you just see him tracksuit Gile. I mean, Curly has a superstition where he'll wear. Like he loves the gear, he's got these bad Timberlands, but I didn't have the heart to tell him that they were rubbish. But he has a superstition where if you're winning, and he's got a few nice watches, what he likes to show off, he wears the same thing, and then if he loses, he changes, and then if you win a few more, he keeps that, and then he does that, and he changes. But then obviously the new we got Harry Kewell, who's got the lot, he's got Gavinci, he's got Valentino, whatever he wants. He can wear, so I think he can pull it off.
Curly's a great lad, isn't he?
Yeah, he's top man. Do you know what, Curtis? He's like, obviously you've had Warnock, and I can imagine him being they've been together, haven't they? So just a lot of times where things have happened on training ground, he'll be looking over, he'll have his vape in his mouth and he'll just be laughing his head off.
Yeah.
He's just chilled.
Have you ever seen any weird superstitions? Like any lad, like I never really had any. Like I used to put my shin pads on in a different way, and I eat the same thing for kind of breakfast and stuff. But never had any weird ones. Like, and have you guys ever seen any weird ones in the dressing room?
Nothing that stands out for me.
No, I've seen lads pray. I've seen lads praying and all that. Or they have the little religious thing. I don't know, but yeah, I'll put the. I don't know. Yeah, not. I ain't got any anyway.
No, never really. Like I say, like I've heard loads of stories of lads having superstitions, but I've never really seen it.
No,
never really seen any weird ones.
No, oh, yeah. Nothing that stands out. No,
I used to have a lad. I suppose this is a bit weird, but he always used to shave his like his doodahs before he went out and played. Always,
The last few years, I've seen like more and more the young lads. They gel their hair and that before they go out, and I'm thinking,
yeah.
"What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, lads, we're going to war here. It's Newport Way, and you're gelling your hair." And I'm thinking,
"You're only jealous.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous because I'm doing this and like doing it all the time."
One of the times this season for Gainsborough, that I was in the dressing room, and my assistant manager Martin Foster, a couple of years older than me,
I know Fozzie.
We came in after the warm up for the game before the game. You have that like little 15-minute period, don't you? And the music that was on, I was like, "We need some older lads in this dressing room for us. We've got a team full of kids, and they were all doing dance moves and everything." I was like, "What is going on?" And we went out. We got beat 3-2, and I brought it up after that. I'm like, "Where are we going here, lads? What are we doing with ourselves here?" Break
that
in 5 minutes before.
That's the game's changed, hasn't it, Curtis? Obviously, you know, no matter what level you're at, even the top ones, like the game's changed. It's just
listen, I left Gainsborough last week. Where do I want to go next? I put a post out the other day, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've now managed at steps 8, 7,
five, four, and three.
So I've done the hard yards, and when I went into football management, I said that I believe that to be successful in anything, you need to do an apprenticeship. You need to learn your trade, and I feel I've done that, and I've been, you know, relatively successful everywhere I've been, always worked on tight budgets and done well with them tight budgets. I feel like I've earned a step up. You know, I've not been given anything. I feel like I've earned it. So
is there any jobs available? Obviously, like I know everything's closed down at the minute, though. But are there any jobs available? Like you don't need to name the teams, but
yeah. Well, I think everybody at the end of the season is out of contract, aren't they? So I think there'll be quite a fair bit of movement, and I'm hopeful I'll get an opportunity where I can then go and progress again. You know, every team that I've been at, I've advanced with. So I'm excited.
Good. What would you want to do, Curtis? Like next, like sort of conference north, or just whatever's the next thing that comes up where you think, that's a bit of me. That
I think.
What is the next step up? Is it conference north?
Yeah, I want to go into a full time environment.
Yeah,
you know, I feel that's a natural next progression for me.
Would you ever go in as an assistant?
No. I'd struggle to do that now after I've been a manager for so long. I struggle to be an assistant. So I would like, depends who asks you to be assistant.
That's a shame because I had a job in the Championship for you, but it's all right. You've ruled it out. No problem.
But yeah, I think the next one for me is a full-time environment. And if it's not a football league club, I'd want it to be a club that I felt I could take into the football league.
Yeah, definitely.
So many big clubs in non-league now, aren't they?
Especially up north as well.
Yeah,
I was going through the conference the other day and I was like, wow, look at them. Like, you look at teams like Stockport, Wrexham, Notts Counties, and you're like, they're big clubs, them.
Massive. Yeah. Even in the Conference North, I mean, a few years ago, the Conference North was, I wouldn't even class it as non-league anymore. There's some
really good teams.
Curtis, someone's just asked Celtic job, ?
Like I said, I'm looking to step forward, really. I'm not looking to hide it. I'm a Rangers man, aren't I? So
Right, just a quick one. So obviously we've got the derby at the weekend, Man United, Man City. Predictions and what do you reckon? What's the best derby you've played in? I'll go to Nicky first. So I want predictions for the derby, and then the best one you've played in.
I think United City. I think you can only look at City, really, can't you? Where's it at? Is it at City?
Yeah,
I don't think it matters where it's at the moment with them. I think they're ruthless, relentless. I just think that they're miles ahead of obviously Liverpool. Have had a bad time this year. They've had injuries have hampered them, but I just think they're miles ahead. I think you look at. I just don't think United. I know it's a derby, but obviously there's no fans there, so
I don't think it makes a real difference, does it?
I think it's going to be. I said at start of season like. I fancied City to win it, and then they had a bit of a slowish start, and then as soon as they started it in top gear, I was like, "They look good here. They could win everything."
Yeah.
So, they look as good now as they ever have, don't they? They look better now than what they ever have, which is scary.
I think that's green and blue. Yeah. And like you look at that Cancelo and people like that.
Aguero's not even playing either. They aren't really, apart from Jesus, like they haven't really got an out-and-out striker, have they?
Imagine if they go big in the summer and go and get a top striker, like
imagine Matt Haaland.
Someone like that.
Or Kane. They probably will.
Yeah. Game over, isn't it?
Yeah. But they've sort of gone, though, like, obviously, like when Pep had Barcelona, where they don't play a striker and they're just absolutely like footballing teams and teams don't know what to do.
Is Messi going to come to Man City?
Who?
I would love to see him, but I don't think I think he'll go PSG if he PSG. Goes anywhere, will he?
It'd be brilliant to see him in the Premier League, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
It'd be nothing compared to the Burry Baggio, but it'd still be good to see.
You've seen his film coming at Netflix. Be top that. I love Baggio.
Yeah, what a player he was. What a player. Anyway, Nicky,
go on.
Best derby, come on.
Best derby
that you've played in.
Obviously, a lot of my derbies have been, you know, I'm trying to think, like Bury Rochdale, Bury Oldham.
Yeah.
Bury Bolton was a good one.
Have you got any memorable ones where you've done well in them? I know it's a silly question.
No, not really. not really. No, no. Do you know what? When we was at Bury, you might have been at the game, guys. Bury Oldham, because Oldham have got a good following.
Yeah,
and they filled both ends at gig, and it was like behind the net, and it was a proper. Scholes was manager of them, and we had a good side at Bury at the time, and it was a full house. We were trying to get promoted. Oldham had a good side, so it was a proper good game, and it was like. It was going off. The Oldham scored first. The smoke grenades are going off. People running on the pitch, and it's like, wow, this is a proper good atmosphere. This, and I look like obviously Curtis has played in bigger ones than me, but just it doesn't matter. I think if the atmosphere, whoever you're playing for, if it's full and the fans are like, at it, you're like, wow, this is good. This.
Yeah. Curtis, have you played in the Sheffield derby?
Yeah, I played in the first one that there was for years. Because obviously Wednesday were flying for a good few years in the Premier League, and Sheffield United, we were always in the Championship. But yeah, I think I played in the first one that they'd had for nearly 10 years. So I played in that, and that was amazing. Like Nicky said, one of the ones that we drew 1-1, I think. I was in the wall for there. They hit a free kick, and it hit me in the wall and went in on goal. Shock, I turned my back, I deserved it. But yeah, like what Nicky said, one that I played in which really stands out was Grimsby Town versus Lincoln City.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously you're not talking about as big a fan bases as United and Wednesday, but for sheer trouble during the game, it was carnage. We were 4-0 down at half time, and we got the old six down on the pitch at half time off Russell Slade. We got that one. Yeah, and it was horrible. It was embarrassing.
God.
Yeah, that was a good one. And the season after, we played them in the playoff semi-finals, home and away. They were two great games. We beat them. But yeah, the Lincoln Grimsby ones, they hate each other, them two, you know. It's like they hate each other. But yeah, I mean, the Wednesday United one on the biggest scale was brilliant. But yeah,
How many fans were there?
Adam?
How many fans were there, do you reckon?
What, the United Wednesday one?
30,000?
Yeah, maybe a few more.
Good atmosphere, that, innit?
Yeah, I remember the Bury Bolton one, and Bury and Bolton had not played for years. Probably 12, 15 years, and it was in a cup. And we went, and Bury took, like, they filled it behind the goal, 3,000, big game for Bury. And Bolton, to be fair, it was their first home game at season. So it was good. It was probably 12, 13,000 on. And it was like, the atmosphere was like, wow, this is, obviously, I'm from Bolton. So all my mates, family are there. I think they gave us 40 comp tickets and I took 35. all my mates were in the Bolton end giving me grief. And we were 1-0 till about 95th minute. And we give a penalty away and they beat us extra time. But the atmosphere was incredible. And then after it, I went out in Bolton, me on a student night, Tuesday night, my Bury trackie on.
No way, did you?
I did. All Bolton, all my mates think they're all numpties from Bolton, so no one had batted me anyway because they're all quite, they can have a do them, so I'm all right.
That's brilliant. Out in your Bury tracksuit as well, that's class.
Yeah, in Vogue it was called, Vogue.
I know Vogue.
Free VKs for a fiver.
Fivers are about the fans, though, aren't they? You know, you said without the fans, it's just another game. You know, but because you know, for players, we're not from, well, 9 times out of 10, we're not from the area, so we're not steeped in the history and what it means. But for the actual fans, you know, it means so much more. So a derby with no fans. Not really a derby, is it?
No, that's what I mean. Like, you live for them games, don't you? I think they're...
Yeah.
Like the other night we played Oldham Bolton, it would have been a full house.
Yeah.
It would have been rocking. And it's like... Yeah. It's the same of any game, though. There's just...
They're the ones you remember, though. You know, when you...
How do you find that as a player with no fans? Is it deflating, or have you got used to it? Or you must be buzzing to have fans back in when it can be.
I think he's had it his whole career, hasn't he? He'll be used to it.
Do you know what? It's worse when there's hardly anyone there because you can hear them, what they're actually saying. Yeah. If there's like 1,500 on, like, if you go somewhere, say you go, I don't know, if you play hockey away and there's a couple of thousand on and you're not a local team playing them and you're not brought any away fans, really, you can hear them, like, and you're like, Jesus, like, he's going to wait for me after me and do me in. But, like, it is. It's a shame. I think, listen, you play because that's what you want to play for in front of all the fans, don't you? So, when everyone's missed it, aren't they?
It's the same with boxing. You know, a few times I've been on massive bills. Like Khan versus Gomez. I was on Luke Campbell's homecoming. You know, and when you see it comes on Sky and it's absolutely packed. But I've boxed at like 6:30 before on them nights where there's literally 5 people in the arena. It feels weird. The weirdest one I boxed on was when Luke Campbell had his homecoming after winning the Olympic gold medal, and he boxed at OKR Rugby Stadium, and it was in the middle of the summer, and I boxed at about 5:30, and when I was walking out, I could just smell barbecues. It was red hot. I felt like just giving my opponent a little cuddle and that, and saying, let's have a little dance and a couple of beers in that.
Let's have a copper burger and chill.
It felt weird. And until I got smacked in the mouth and realised, I'm in a fight here, it was very, very hard to get switched on to.
Yeah.
What about, let's have a look. What about the Euros in the summer? So Chris Wilde is saying that Jack Grealish is probably the best English player at the moment. What do you think of that comment? And what do you think of England's chances?
I've been saying for a few weeks, mate, Grealish has got to play. Grealish and Foden have to play. If they don't play, I'm not even watching it. I'm boycotting it. I mean,
why is that? Because they're both that creative.
Yeah, even if it means if we're playing a 3 up top, play Grealish on the left and Foden on the right, I've got no problems with that. But we have to find a system where them two are in the same team. Listen, you look at our defence, we're not going to be keeping many clean sheets, are we? Because it's probably the weakest part of our game. So we're going to probably have to score 2, 3, and 4 goals.
What formation would you play? 4-3-3?
I'd go 4-3-3. If I was picking a team, I'd probably go... I'd go 4-2-3-1. So my team quickly would be Pickford in net. I would go Luke Shaw at left back. Centre halves, I'd go Maguire and Stones. Right back, I would go Trent, Just. My two midfielders, which I'd have not sitting, but my role for them would be to not get ahead of the ball, back play up, would be Henderson and Rice. On the left, I would play Grealish. On the right, I would play Sterling. In the 10 position behind Harry Kane, I'd play Phil Foden. That'd be my team. And I think that gives us a right chance of winning it.
Yeah, I
like it. Nicky, go on. Quickly
so
name
your. Do you know what? It'd be similar. Like, do you know what? I'd put Pope in that.
Yeah.
Just obviously, I'm being a bit biased because I played with him, but I just think he's not as good with his feet. But I think he's a better goalkeeper.
I'd like to see Grealish as a more central rather than out on the left, because I think we did that a little bit with Scholesy with England. I think we wasted him.
Well, if you could probably swap him
and Foden, couldn't you? And put Foden there.
You could easily put Sterling on the.
Henderson. I'd have Rice as a sitter, kind of like backing up the back four, and I'd have
rewind. You'd take out Henderson.
Yeah,
I'm playing Henderson.
I'm gonna go now.
I'm only going my opinion. I'm just right. I'm only saying my opinion. I'd have a little diamond in midfield, so I'd have Rice as a sitter. Yeah, I'd have Grealish at the point of the diamond. I'd have Foden and Sterling right at the diamond. Yeah, so that's a three. So it's a four.
If he went manager, we'd be out in group stages. What's going on here? What are you on about?
That's great. I'd have a back four, diamond in midfield, and I'd have Kane and... Who else could we have up front? I'd bring Vardy back. Big play for Vardy to have him back in.
I'd love Vardy to be back in, you know.
Yeah,
I really would.
If I was
Southgate, I'd be on the phone and say, listen, can you? But he'd probably say, you know, if I'm going to play, I'd come back. But he wouldn't play him, would he?
No.
Imagine that, though, in midfield. You've got Rice as a sitter, Foden left, Sterling right, Grealish top of the diamond, Kane... And Vardy.
So you're playing Raheem Sterling in central midfield?
Well, no, right. Right of a like right what? Of a diamond.
How many players have you had?
When we win possession, Foden and Sterling split, go wide.
What about when we're not in possession? What's Sterling doing then?
Tucking in.
Playing central centre mid.
Tucking in, right of a diamond.
King Gaz Bassett here.
I 4-4, fucking two.
Do you know what, though? I think Kirsty's right. I'll just play all the... Just be exciting. And go
play
and,
your best players,
just
yeah.
Go and play your best players. Go because if you sit off, you're playing good international teams. They'll just pick you off anyway, whether you're...
Yeah.
If you think, oh, I'll go a bit defensive here, they'll just pick you off.
And you know with that team that I said, you've got your two centre-halves, obviously, that do their job, and then the two midfielders in front of them, their job would be to screen everything. Don't get ahead of the ball. Always be there to recycle possession if we have to. But keep that solid four there. And let the rest go and get on with it.
Go and win the game. You four, go and win the game.
100%.
Yeah.
You guys know nothing. Diamond.
That's why I'm out of a job.
No, mate. It's been good to hear you both tonight. Good to get a little bit of opinions. I do care, but I literally don't care. I'm just that excited for the summer to be watching England play in the Euros and being a bar with my mates, and I'm allowed to actually get within 2 metres and give them a hug and a kiss when we win and score.
My son's 18this summer, so I can't wait to go and watch. I've already said I'll go and watch the games with him. He's not having it. I don't want me to come with him, but it's so good to be in the pub with my son watching England.
How good
will
that?
Yeah.
How good's that?
That'd be brilliant. Here's fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure again tonight. Good to have you back, Nicky.
Cheers, guys.
Maybe
upset, Nick.
Hopefully you're back next week if you have a decent game on Saturday.
Got Southend at home.
Oh, big game that. They're struggling, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you know what though? I think we've looked at them. They're decent. Do you know what I mean? They're not. It's just one of them. If you get sucked in there in the bottom, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they've got some good players. You can't take anyone lightly. You can't. You know what I mean?
No, they'll be looking at you, boys, saying if we can win this one, we kind of drag you into it as well. It's a big game, that one.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Good luck, mate.
Nice one, good mate. Stuff. Cheers.
Curtis, do you want to show us your hat before we go? It all starts Monday.
Starts Monday.
Make sure you get onto it. If you've got any fitness goals, get onto Curtis. He'll help you out. Follow it. Get on it. Nicky, good luck at the weekend.
Nice one, Gazza.
Lads.
Cheers, boys. Enjoy tonight.
Nice one. It's been a pleasure. I'll see you next week. All right.